On this episode of the Full Tilt Devi podcast, we are going to be saying sayonara to the 2024 rookie class as they get ready for the NFL draft. We will have recaps from the Reese's Senior Bowl and everything that's been happening in these pre-draft activities. And we will let you know who you need to be adding in the late rounds of your rookie drafts. Stick around, have fun, and make sure you hit that subscribe button to enter in for a chance to win a signed Malachi Nelson jersey. Let's do it. Welcome in. Once again, this is the Full Tilt Devi podcast, and we have a very special guest again today. This is three times in a row, but today we now have Brandon Lejeune of Devi to Dynasty to join us. As always, I am your host, Lucas Gilbert, at LGilbertFF on X. And just like always, make sure we have Andy Starr and John Arrington to join us and break down all of the Devi content you need to know. But first off, Brandon, thank you so much for joining us tonight to say goodbye to what's one of my favorite classes that we've seen in a while just because of that top-end talent. But I wanted to give you a chance to start off the show with what you want to be talking about tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Why are we getting rid of the rookie so quick? We're just getting started. It's rookie season, man. No, I love it. This is my favorite time of year, right? As Devi guys, we watch these players for years. Now we're going to get the final pieces of the puzzle. We got a little Senior Bowl action. We're going to get the combine coming up. And then, of course, the all important draft capital landing spots are about 2 months away. So the next 2 months should be fun.
Definitely. Andy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It does smell like burnt popcorn down here because my microwave is terrible. But other than that, I mean, I'm excited to say goodbye to these guys. Like you said, this is a great class for the top-end talent, especially in two position groups. But you know, we'll get our final takes in here and maybe, you know, spread a little bit of knowledge that you haven't heard elsewhere. And hopefully maybe find some diamonds in the rough that people aren't talking about.
And John, you were just at the Senior Bowl, so you have the inside scoop for everyone. How are you doing tonight?
I absolutely do. I'm glad that the Andy caveated it with the broken microwave, because I was a little worried that he was having a stroke live on air. But with the whole burnt popcorn thing. But yeah, I was just there in Mobile, Alabama. It was a great time. I did catch a little something while I was there. Maybe we partied a little too hard on that day off, but I did actually pay attention when the players were on the field.
You know, and that's the part that really matters. So let's get right into it and start breaking down what the Senior Bowl week was like, who really improved their draft stock, and what's never that amazing of a game, but we still saw some pretty good standout performances from some of the players that we're definitely paying attention to at the game. And John, since you were there, why don't you get us started with what Senior Bowl was like?
Well, let me tell you, it was my first time going. It was such a cool experience. They really did kind of roll out the red carpet for, you know, for the media and you know, whoever wanted to be there. And you know, it seemed like there weren't that many that many hoops you had to jump through to get credentials and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, if you want to do it in the future, you probably can. I would say you'd probably just have to have some kind of affiliation whatsoever. But once you get out there, you know, like you're able to get access to the players. You're obviously watching these full practices and everything. And it's just not only that, but just seeing all the other people that were there, you know, whether it's in the fantasy space, whether it's in, you know, the NFL space, NFL Network, you know, ESPN, all those kind of guys. The first night, actually Monday night, so before the practices started or anything, we found this local barbecue place that an Uber driver told us that we had to try. And so we go there and we're eating, and it was delicious, absolutely delicious. And next thing I know, that's Andrew Siciliano. And sure enough, he walks right in. Right behind him, Ian Rappaport walks in, and then about like eight other guys from NFL Network all walk in, and you know, they're all just hanging out, having a good time. So like, we knew we were in the right place. But you know, just being around all those guys, it was a great feeling, great time, and actually ended up being able to talk with some of them, having like full on conversations with them on the field. So it was pretty cool.
So, Bram, what stood out to you the most from Senior Bowl week and also the Senior Shine Bowl and everything that's been going on with these postseason games?
Well, my podcast co-host, Jason DiRienzo, he was down there. So we had done a podcast not too long ago, but I think he came away impressed with a few people. I think from the quarterback room, he thought Spencer Rattler probably had the best week of all the quarterbacks. He seemed pretty excited. I can kind of tell when he gets excited, you know, doing a podcast with him for a few years. He was happy to see Spencer Rattler do well, you know, given the fact that, you know, he's a 5-year senior and he left to Oklahoma and is at South Carolina. Not to think that his draft stock got him into the first round discussion or anything, but for all the quarterbacks down there, I think he felt that, you know, Spencer made the most money, I guess, or maybe impressed more than the other quarterbacks did. From the running back position, just kind of going through thinking of our podcast that we recorded, I think Marshawn Lloyd, he was impressed with, had some really good, you know, footwork, that showed some burst and acceleration. Ray Davis, you know, was also another player that I think he, you know, came away with. And he was really talking about how they really didn't do a lot of pass protection drills down there. I think they didn't do like a lot of one-on-ones with linebackers and stuff, maybe things like drills that we had seen in the past, but a lot of pass catching drills apparently were taking place with the running back. So, and I think he felt that Lloyd and Davis and Labe, the kid from New Hampshire, probably those were the three running backs who he felt, you know, I didn't see any of the practices. I saw some clips on X and stuff like that, but I didn't like see the routes and stuff like that. I mean, but I'm not, you know, Ladd McConkey going to the wide receiver room, Roman Wilson, I think. I mean, Jason and I have been Ladd McConkey believers for a long time. We, you know, did a lot of, you know, film work with him is when he was a sophomore going into his junior season last year. A couple other players that he talked about from the wide receiver room. Ricky Pearsall was getting some buzz. So, and then at the tight end room, there was one person, his eyes kind of got excited when we were doing the podcast, and it was, you know, the kid from Penn State. What's his name? I got it right here. I forget his name. It's
Theo Johnson.
Yeah, Theo Johnson. So, and we kind of talked on the pod too that he might have been a little underutilized. And I mean, coming out of high school, he was a pretty impressive figure. I mean, he was an athletic kid coming in, and it took him a while to get going. But Penn State's offense has been kind of crappy for the last few years. But he said he was really impressed with his size and his movement skills. So, you know, I think this is just one part of the puzzle of the draft. You know, they say the draft starts, you know, with the Senior Bowl. So, it's good for all these players, you know. I think it's good to just see, you know, some guys to validate maybe what you've seen as us Devy guys. We've been, like I said, we've been watching these players for so long. It's nice now to say, okay, yeah, we thought Ladd McConkey was a space creator. It looks like he is. But then you got guys like Ricky Pearsall who, you know, really didn't have too many productive seasons at Florida, who has shown the ability to create space and stuff like that. So I'm just happy for all these guys, you know. I mean, they work so hard. It's nice to go down there. So those were his kind of risers that we spoke about.
Fantastic. Andy, you have a really interesting note here about Michael Penix opting out of the game. He didn't have a great week, but he didn't hurt himself as much as it seems like Bo Nix really hurt himself with his performance down there. And I like the question that you pose here. Is he still a first round talent? I'll open it up to you first for a response.
Yeah, I mean, as it stands right now, I do think he's going to be one of those guys that does slide out of the first round for a couple of factors. Age is one of them. It's certainly not the most important one, but he will be 24 at the start of the 2024 season. Number two, which I think is a little bit of a bigger deal, is his injuries. He did have the two ACL tears, a couple of shoulder injuries throughout his career. And for me, I wouldn't say it's a red flag, but my biggest concern is that, you know, he might be a system quarterback in that Kalen DeBoer offense. He's been with DeBoer for three out of his five seasons as a starter, starting way back in Indiana in 2019. If you're looking from an efficiency standpoint, when he's with DeBoer, his EPA per play was 0.4 or higher. And then his two worst seasons from an efficiency standpoint are right there in the middle, those 2020 and 21 seasons at Indiana when he didn't have him. Obviously, he transfers to Washington, and we saw what he did in those 2 years. Is it related to, you know, his being in that DeBoer offense, who, you know, did have similar passing game successes with guys like Jake Haener at Fresno State? I think he kind of needed the Senior Bowl to improve what parts of his draft stock were damaged, especially in that championship game against Michigan. Really, when he saw a top flight defense like the Wolverines, he didn't really step up to the plate and have the game that we kind of wanted to see from him when he was the Heisman front runner. And since he didn't participate, I'm not sure that I would, if I'm a GM of an NFL team, I'm taking a risk on him in the first round at this point. I think he's still probably a day two pick just based solely on, you know, his arm talent and those sorts of things. But it's just too much of a risk right now for me to spend a one on him.
Fantastic. Well, John?
Yeah, I go ahead, John.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I honestly, my personal opinion has always been that Penix is a high-end backup, so he was never a first-round pick as far as I was concerned. Now, that doesn't mean we've seen those types of players be drafted in the NFL in the first round, so it doesn't mean it wouldn't happen. But from what I saw at the Senior Bowl, I don't think he did anything to actually push himself back into the first round if he ever fell out or whatever. So he didn't do enough to like change anyone's mind on, you know, if anyone was swayed from any kind of games or anything like that. And honestly, the same way with Bo Nix, like both of them really seemed to get kind of like flustered whenever they had any kind of pressure in front of their faces at the Senior Bowl. And they both like just wanted to like get out of the pocket and run. And they never, I mean, hardly ever push the ball down the field further than like 5-6 yards. And it's like, guys, we're in a practice, you know, like this is not a game, you know, for a fact that they can't actually tackle you. And I know that you're supposed to be in a game situation and yada, 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 but like stand in the pocket and throw the freaking ball. And they just didn't do it.
Yeah, I'll follow up with John. I think that's a really good point, because I think that championship game we saw, when he was under pressure, his mechanics really kind of fell apart. And I think that I agree with you. I don't think Bo Nix is a first rounder. I think the three that are going to be there, I think maybe JJ McCarthy goes in the first round only because there's untapped maybe potential there, because he wasn't productive coming from that system. John Harbaugh, I think, is going to, you know, if you listen to what John Harbaugh says about him, he's really smart. So we might have those intangibles that make up for maybe a lack of, you know, athleticism or arm talent. But I agree with John 100%. I mean, Michael Penix should, this is kind of what happens this time of year. We try and push these fringe quarterbacks into the first round, and we're trying to, but there's just things that hold us back. But between, I think Bo Nix and Michael Penix's mechanics are just awful. I mean, especially when, John, I think you bring up a great point. If they're not standing there in the pocket down there and willing to run out, and their mechanics fall apart in a, you know, when they're in shorts down there, I mean, in the game situation, Michael Penix just looked really bad in that game. And I know there's a lot of people out there that says you can't judge him, you got to look at the whole body of work, but I don't know. That's the biggest simulation we're going to have with him playing an NFL team. And he looked, not just, he just looked really out of place. So I agree with John. I don't think either of those, and I'm not going to be drafting and targeting them at all in my rookie drafts, either one of those players.
Yeah, I mean, the Senior Bowl isn't necessarily set up to really highlight how good a quarterback is. I do think that it really magnifies their flaws. And it's not the week that you want to have. I think Spencer Rattler had about as good of a week as you could from the quarterback position at the Senior Bowl. And at least for our dynasty leagues, we love to draft first round rookie quarterbacks. That's easy. It's an easy way to help your super flex teams in particular. And right now, if I set the over at 3.5 for quarterbacks, I'll go in the first round of the NFL draft, and then most likely subsequently your rookie drafts, where are you falling on 3.5, over or under?
I'll go with over because I think JJ McCarthy might slip in. I think he's the only one who might have a chance. So, I mean, we know that's going to be a minimum of three. I think he's the wild card that is someone going to take a shot, you know, with him maybe mid round. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of mocks, or at least a few mocks, of the most recent ones where McCarthy's going right around that like 10 to 15 area in the draft. And I mean, if that's where people are starting to place him now, even if he falls a little bit, he could still be in the 20 to 30 range, you know, so yeah. there's some wiggle room there. I really think that I would smash that over if it's set at 3.5. I really think that JJ McCarthy is going to be a first round quarterback. I don't think that anyone else is going to be it. So if McCarthy falls out, then I really do think it'll just be the three. You know, I know people want to push players up there. And okay, so Rattler might have been the MVP of the game, but I want to just put a little, like, put some breaks out there. Like, he was not great, and he had some terrible throws in practice, especially. Like, I mean, you want to talk about throwing picks in practice? You know, it's like, okay, maybe he was the only one that was actually pushing the ball down the field, and that's kind of his fault. But I mean, he would like take a sack, and then the next play he would throw a pick. Like, that is not a great thing. So, I mean, he might have been the MVP of the quarterbacks, but the quarterbacks did not really do all that much. So, I just, like, I don't want people all of a sudden thinking the Rattler's going to be in the first round mix or something like that. Like, I'd say he probably solidified himself as, like, a third rounder, you know, something around there. But I don't really want people to think, oh, yeah, he's a second or he's a possible first round pick. I do not think that that is the case at all.
Yeah, well, make sure. Wasn't saying that he was going to be the next first round pick, but I still think he had a pretty good week just for what the Senior Bowl is. Andy, over under 3.5.
Yeah, I'll take the over too, just because I think there's enough quarterback desperate teams that somebody will take a chance on JJ McCarthy later in the first round. What was I going to say about Spencer Rattler? Oh yeah. MVP, but first of all, I just want to say how hard it is to find the box score stats for the Senior Bowl this year. But I was able to find it. ESPN usually does it, but for whatever reason, they don't have him this year. But I think he was the MVP. He only had like four completions. So, like, to John's point, the quarterbacks didn't really do much. So
yeah, Rattler had 76 passing yards in this game, and he was the MVP. So I mean, it just shows you like that does not mean all that much. Like, honestly, there's a running back that we're going to talk about a little later that I would probably put more in the MVP category. But we all know that a running back is never going to get MVP, you know, especially in these like All-Star games, Senior Bowl, whatever you want to call it.
All right, so let's just wrap up the Senior Bowl here real quick with one final thought on the 2024 Senior Bowl. Brandon, we'll start with you.
I got a little tidbit of a stat. I went back. This maybe isn't has to do with the Senior Bowl, but since we were talking about quarterbacks, I wanted to, the last 5 years, if you go back and look at the draft history, all the quarterbacks, there's only one quarterback not drafted in the first round, not named Brock Purdy, who's actually starting for an NFL team, in the last 5 years of quarterbacks not taken in round one. Can someone guess who that is? Just as a little trivia question. Anybody?
The only quarterback that wasn't ranked in, or wasn't drafted in the first round,
that's playing right now in the NFL, like as a legitimate starter.
And he played in the Senior
Bowl. Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts.
Nice. So I guess my point is if Bo Nix and Michael Penix and all these guys get round two, round three draft capital, they're just not most likely going to be consistent dynasty starters. So like,
and Jalen Hurts should have been a first round pick. Like, that was probably ridiculous.
you know, the Sam Howells and all these guys, and they might get a shot, but you know, the Desmond Ridders of the world. But so I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. But no, I think, like I said before, the Senior Bowl is really nice because you get to see a little bit of the route running, you get to see a little bit of the work with the running backs. You can't just take too much from it, but I think it can validate maybe what you see. And like I said, I'm just happy for the players. They get down there and hopefully make some money.
Awesome. Andy?
Well, I told John in the pre-show that I was going to talk about Imani Bailey. And I think, you know, he mentioned he was down there and sat with their family. I won't steal his thunder about all that. But I think he looked really good in that Senior Bowl for the national team. And I think people might forget about him because he was kind of shadowed last year behind Kendre Miller and Amari DiMarcado on that TCU team. And they might have forgot about his sophomore season at UL Lafayette, where he was, again, in a kind of a split backfield, but he still, you know, he has the breakaway capability. He's got over 2 breakaway yards per attempt throughout his entire career, capable enough in the passing game, which we saw in the Senior Bowl. I think he had 4 catches there. The speed that he showed, if you watched the game, there was an interception, and he tracked down whoever the defender was, and tackled him at the 1 yard line, which is something you'd love to see, you know, especially from an effort perspective and obviously from a speed perspective, from your running backs. So I like him as an early day 3 guy, could catch on a roster as an RB2. And he's the kind of guy that I'd love to target with like my 3rd round picks and dynasty rookie drafts. So I think Imani Bailey is a guy that we should be paying a lot more attention to.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, he had an up and down Senior Bowl, but I feel like every player really did for the most part. You know, I feel like every year, if this is my first year going, so I can't like attest to it, but I've always heard that there was at least one player that truly stood out every year. You know, last year it was Puka Nacua and Tank Dell. You know, the year prior it was, why can't I think of it? But then the year prior was Justin Herbert. You know, like there's always somebody that truly stands out. And this year we just really didn't have that. But while he might not have like truly stood out in every, you know, aspect, Imani Bailey did show out in the game. And they actually, so there's a funny story. I was standing next to Imani Bailey's family. I'm looking and I see this lady wearing a sequined 9 TCU jersey. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, I'm not saying he can't have some fans, but like, that's got to be a family member or something. And they're all, and I see like 4 of them all standing there. And I'm like, they got to be family members. So I walk up and I'm just like, hey, you guys big fans or are you family? And they said, no, this is grandpa, auntie, mom, and dad. And I was like, that's who I want to talk to. So I sat there and talked with them for 30 minutes. Like, they were amazing people during the game. They're telling me all kinds of stuff about his mom's a track star and she's been working on him as 40 times. He's going to run a really fast 40. His brother already ran a confirmed 4.38. They're expecting something similar from him. And then while we're sitting there talking, if you watch the Senior Bowl, there was a pick at the end of the game. I believe it was Joe Milton that threw it, because chances are if a pick was thrown, it was either from Spencer Rattler or from Joe Milton. And all of a sudden we see somebody running down the defensive back that's trying to score a touchdown from this pick 6. And sure enough, it's Imani Bailey. He tackles him at the 1 yard line. We are maybe 10 feet away. I'm hanging out with his family and we're just freaking out, hugging each other, screaming, doing all that kind of stuff. So it was the coolest experience that obviously you could only get, you know, if you're there in person. So that doesn't actually like raise his stock or anything. Although, I mean, it might, like, teams love to see that kind of stuff. You know, oh, like yeah. He technically was not a part of that play. And like, he was really more of like a dump off option or something like that. But he saved that play from being a touchdown. And so like, teams will see that and like that. He did show off great receiving ability and speed and burst and everything. But I don't know that John isn't listening to his own show. I guess probably not. I don't know. I'm just talking. I don't know what we're doing here. So yeah, there we go. I got an Imani Bailey fun story for the rest of my life.
Nice.
There you go. Looking forward to the 2025 Senior Bowl with us doing a live show down there. All right. That's the goal. We'll see if that can happen. Sure would be a lot of fun.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. John, I'm glad you got to experience all that. Sounds like an awesome time. We are going to take a very, very quick break to allow us to rest our voices for just a second. But when we come back, we are going to do our final farewell to 2024 rookies before our other show will take over that on the Dynasty end. So stay tuned. Like I said, it's very quick. I think also now is a good time to remind everyone we are doing a giveaway for a Malachi Nelson signed USC jersey. All you have to do to enter to win it is hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel. And right now, we are doing a special offer with all of our guests coming onto the show. So far, we have an offer with C2C, with fantasy points, and now we are including Brandon and Devi to Dynasty, that if you go and subscribe to their show as well, at the end, going to ask very kindly that you send me a picture of who has subscribed to your show, and that will be an extra entry into the Malachi Nelson signed jersey giveaway. And if we hit 800 subscribers by the end of spring camps for all of our favorite college football teams, there will be an additional giveaway item that will be entered to anyone who did not win the first item. But that one's going to stay a secret right now. So let's push, get to 800, and then we will reveal what the second item is. A hint, though, is Heisman related, so make sure you stick around. Mm. Yeah. So, to start our final farewell to the 2024 rookie class, let's just start very easy, overrated, underrated. What are some players right now that fall into the overrated category for where you want to take them? Andy, let's start with you.
All right, I'll kick it off. And first of all, I want to just preface this by saying that I don't hate the player. I just think where he's being talked about right now is a little absurd. A little absurd. And that's Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze. Like I said, I like Rome. I think he's a fine player. But it seems like the consensus at this point is to have him locked into that top seven of rookies in Superflex drafts. And I just don't agree with it. And the reason for that being is I can't say definitively that he's going to be a better NFL player than other wide receivers in this class, like Brian Thomas or Xavier Worthy or even Troy Franklin. Again, maybe he's a beneficiary of the DeBoer system. I know there was other, you know, Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk also had 2 yards per route run on that same team. He is a fourth-year guy, which I know we don't care as much about these days, but, you know, it is part of his profile. Like I said, I just don't know that there's enough there for me to say definitively he's better than that next tier of wide receiver, the way that everyone's sort of just grouping him into this top level talent. I'd be more careful if I'm at 107, which seems to be where guys like Odunze are going. I'd be more comfortable trading back or even trying to trade up and to get somebody like Malik Nabers or even Brock Bowers, you know, somebody who I'm more confident in having a positive NFL career than Rome Odunze. I'm just not sure he's on the same tier as some of those other mid-first guys.
So I'm loving some of the comments tonight. Yeah. the chat's all over us, man.
Yeah, having a lot of fun with it. Brandon, I'll let you defend your player real quick here, and then you get into your overrated players right now for their draft capital.
What, you mean Rome Odunze?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, everyone has an opinion, right? And, you know, yeah, he's up there in the top five for me right now, but I can certainly understand any apprehension if you think he's a product of the system. He's a good route runner. He's a good, he's a good route runner, but I don't think he's an excellent route runner, right? So I think, does he create space to be in the top five? We're going to find out. You know, we've got a lot of these bigger receivers this year, and like these 6'4", 6'3", 215-pound guys, there's not a lot of them that end up being really solid dynasty assets. It's usually the 6'1" guys, you know, 200 pounds, because they're a little shiftier. They got a little bit better movement skills. So I love the take. I mean, hey, you know what? We're certainly going to find out. The guy I want to talk about is probably on the complete opposite, and it is Xavier Worthy for me, who I have reservations with. Yes, I know he's fast. He's had some drop issues, but I think for me, I'm a big physicality guy, right? And when it comes to scouting wide receivers, and I've seen so many plays, I just actually am cutting up a film today, actually getting an all-22 film, like kind of ready to do with, you know, a film review. And I'm just like really concerned. He gets most of his passes in space, you know, through, you know, working the zones in the middle of the field, short to the line of scrimmage. And every time I see him on a vertical route where he's one-on-one with a DB on the boundary, I think he gets out-muscled. And I think he gets, you know, out-physicaled at the catch point. I don't think he's got really great body control to go up, like unlike Rome Odunze, who's, you know, can go up there. He's got the length, he's got the size, but maybe that's not going to be Xavier Worthy's game, but that's a concern for me. He's like ranked, you know, 5 and 6 in a lot of ranks, and he's down there more closer to 9 and 10 for me. So he's probably, for me, a little overvalued. Is he a product of the system at Texas? Is he going to be able to get dirty, you know, with these linebackers and safeties and physicality? I'm just like really concerned. I don't think he's got the ability to fight off press and win one-on-one if he's playing in the slot and he's faced up against press coverage. Didn't see a lot of that in college at all. And we don't for a lot of players, but so he's probably somebody I'm lower on than most.
Fantastic, John.
Well, I mean, it's hard to argue against the Worthy one. I mean, obviously he has some drops and concerns. Obviously he broke out in a big way his freshman season, and then he kind of stalled out after that. So I get the concerns. I think the biggest thing is I don't hear a lot of people saying that they have Worthy in that like top tier or anything like that. You know, usually it's more of the second tier, third tier. With Adunze, you know, you hear some people pushing him up into like the top tier. And that's where I really kind of struggle with it, is like, I don't mind him at even 107 or wherever. Like I have no issues with him there. But, you know, certain people, you know, saying like, oh, he's better than Neighbors. Oh, he's better than MHJ. That's where I'm like, all right, let's push the brakes here, you know. But that's not even my guy. I just wanted to comment on those two. For me, it's got to be Keon Coleman, man. Like, there's so many people that seem to just still be in love with that guy. And I'm like, how can you watch what he did this past season and then still like want to put him into the first round of a rookie draft? You know, and I get, you know, like there's still NFL mocks pushing him into like the end of the first round or like beginning of the second round. I don't understand that. Like he blew up in a big way in week one against LSU, and everyone was like, all right, that's it. He's going to be a stud. And then we figured out who LSU was and that they had one of the worst defenses that we've ever seen and couldn't stop anyone. Every single team, didn't matter if it was, you know, if it was FSU or Appalachian State, was putting like 60 points against them. I just think that, you know, like everyone still has that burnt into their memory. And yet, you know, if you actually look at who he is as a player, he's that kind of dinosaur player that we don't see anymore in the NFL. 6'4", 6'5", you know, like contested catch receiver that isn't going to separate. And I mean, there's really like one of those guys right now, and it's George Pickens, except for George Pickens has some like the most amazing hands that you've ever seen. He just can't separate from players, but it doesn't seem to truly matter as much. I don't think that that's going to be Keon Coleman. And so regardless of where he is for most people, I would still assume that he is overrated at this point.
Hurt my heart a little bit there. I'm sure we will discuss Keon Coleman more later. You've already seen John and I got into a little bit on Twitter the other night. Nothing too crazy, just hurting my feelings a little bit, but that's fine. My player right now, and I think it's just because of how far he has moved up the draft boards recently, but it's going to be Brian Thomas. And I think a lot of that is just because I don't see the same ceiling that you need to be seeing for someone that you're going to have to take right around the same spot as Troy Franklin. I don't think he has the same ceiling as Adonai Mitchell or Keon Coleman, definitely not Rome Odunze or Xavier Worthy. And I think he had a very niche role in college, and he also had the benefit of having Malik Neighbors on the same team, not having the same attention. So he's someone I'm really scared about investing in too much right now. I'm also really concerned that every single one of us picked a wide receiver. Now, this is a very good wide receiver class, and with the state of the running back position right now, there's not as much to go back and forth on. We're picking who's our favorite running back to take in the second round. It's not near as juicy as who's going to be going in the first, but it does show that there are some real concerns after the top two in what's a very deep but very questionable wide receiver class.
I think you bring up a good point. I think, you know, the top two, I think, are the top two, right? And I think after that, I think everyone's going to have their opinion on whatever it is. And like we spoke about, you know, there's a lot of bigger receivers. And to the point I think John made was that's really not what the NFL is looking for anymore. They're looking for probably the Xavier Worthy types, right? Maybe I'm the one who's wrong with the, they don't care about his physicality. They just want him to get open in space and grab the ball and run, you know, for 10, 15 yards, whatever. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a good exercise to go through to second guess yourself and just wonder, you know, they're probably only going to get 7-8 of these wide receivers legitimately that are going to hit our dynasty rosters and be producers. As much as we think it's going to be 15, 16 deep, it never is, even though it is a good class.
Yeah. It's like, how do you, you know, I think a good exercise to do with these players, especially receivers, is how can they fail, and just go through one by one and say, how can they fail? And it's like, there's not much you can say about MHJ, not much you can say about Neighbors. You start getting to the guys like Brian Thomas, and it's like, all right, so he's a speed guy. Like, he's, you know, he's the deep route guy, big, but guy, he's the bigger, fast. Yeah, big guy run fast, but you know, but that's rare. Like, we don't see that very often in the NFL anymore. So like, it seems like you can make a pretty good case for him to easily fail. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to fail. I hope nothing but the best for Brian Thomas Jr. And I actually have him fairly high in my rankings, but like, people, once again, people start putting him into like the end of the first round in their rookie drafts, and I don't like it. Like, I want to start, we have to start talking about, there are going to be running backs that matter in this draft, and we need to start pushing some of those running backs into the first, the back end of the first round, and stop worrying so much about these like tier three wide receivers going into the back end. Because I think when it's all said and done, and I mean, we didn't even really get into like the crux of it, but you want to talk about who won the Senior Bowl, like who won that week? It was the running backs. There was running backs that stood out. I interviewed Kamani Vidal. I interviewed Michael Wiley. I interviewed Marshawn Lloyd. Like, those players all stood out. Obviously, you know, why am I blanking right now? Ray Davis had a good week, but like, there's so many players that stood out. Cody Schrader looked way better than I've ever given him credit for. But I think that also kind of, you know, got a little overhyped because it was just, he really touched the ball a lot. Like, I don't know what it was, but like, he seemed to touch the ball a lot. And he showed out when they weren't actually hitting. And so it was like, well, yeah, he's not getting tackled. So he ran 40 yards, but he probably would have been tackled like 5 yards away or whatever. But long story short, I think we got to start pushing these running backs up a little bit, pushing some of these tier three or four wide receivers down a little bit, and we'll actually get where we're going to end up for the rookie drafts.
And on this positive note, let's start talking about some of the underrated prospects right now. And I think we're going to see a lot of running backs in this list. John, let's start with you for underrated.
There's so many that it's tough. I mean, if we're just talking about running backs, I could probably name 10 that are underrated. I think I'm going to go with Audric Estime, though. Like, I think that, you know, while a lot of people are worried about his athleticism and everything, I think he showed enough, at least short area burst and speed, to where maybe the long speed isn't quite there, but I don't care if he can run 70 yards. I care that he can run 25 yards. You know, like, that's all I truly care about. And he obviously has the size. Marshawn Lloyd is another great one. Jamie's in the chat. Like, he really stood out at this one. And honestly, like, I have like a 7-minute interview that if I can ever clear up the background noise with, would be an amazing interview. He's awesome. He's so nice. He was willing to answer anyone's questions and everything. But yeah, there's so many players. But Audric Estime for me has the size, the production, the pedigree, everything that we want. And I think that when it's all said and done, he's going to be like a top 100 pick or right around there in the NFL draft. And then he's going to shoot up people's boards at that point, because right now you have a lot of people that just hate him for his lack of athleticism, even though he's really put together like at least two very solid seasons. And then, you know, you have people just don't know who the hell he is because all they've heard is how terrible this RB class is.
Fantastic. Andy.
Well, you know, I'm always going to say my boy, Bucky Irving. and I think what we've been saying the last, you know, since the last segment with the overrated players is absolutely true. Like, we need to start pushing up some of these running backs because, yeah, it's not, you know, we're not getting the Bijan Robinsons or the Saquon Barkleys that we've, you know, kind of grown accustomed to, where there's usually one, at least one guy in a draft where you're like, okay, this guy's going to be a a bell cow running back, and he's going to be, you know, the RB1 for the next 5-6 years. But there's a lot of really good running backs in this class. And right now they're kind of peppered in this middle tier. Estime's one of those guys. You know, they're going right in the middle of the second round, usually when you, if you do a mock draft right now. But then obviously you got guys like Corum and Braylon Allen and Jonathan Brooks. And I think Trey Benson's peppered in there as well, which, you know, I'm not as high on Trey Benson as some people are, but for me, it's Bucky Irving. And he had 55 catches and 1,200 yards rushing last year. He's got the breakaway yards per attempt, which I love. The catches do come with a caveat because his ADOT was -2 yards. So we're talking about a lot of screenplays. But he's been nothing but solid for all of the 3 years that he's been in college. His size is obviously going to put a lot of guys off. You know, if the combine comes around and he shows up under 190, I may rethink my position. But right now he's listed at 195, which is, you know, I think I'm comfortable taking a chance on him at that weight based on the skill set and what I've seen so far from college, from him in college.
Fair enough. Brandon, underrated player.
I'm going to go with Jalen Wright, Tennessee running back. It's a good size. I just cut up two films actually this morning out of my all 22 library, and I like what I see. I put a tweet out on X the other day too, or last night. The guy's got some serious contact balance. He's got yards after, you know, contact ability. I think he's underrated speed. I mean, he had the most quiet 1,000 yard season, averaged 7.4 yards a tote. You know, looks comfortable. Didn't have a ton of receptions, but looks certainly comfortable catching the ball. I think he's hurt right now, so he wasn't at the Senior Bowl. So he'd be a running back that, again, I think as we get closer to the combine and everything, you know, we'll see what his speed is. But man, I'll tell you, there's two or three plays that I just cut up today that, I mean, he's got breakaway speed and there wasn't anybody catching him. So, and his contact balance and yards after contact and draggling tacklers. And to me, it's all about space creation for running backs, and you got to have sweet feet. You got to be able to laterally move and, you know, adjust, pivot and reaccelerate. And I think he's shown that, you know, with the line of scrimmage, he can do that. I'll give you another one from the wide receiver. I really like Jalen Polk. I think he is going to be a really good possession receiver in the NFL. Doesn't do a lot of, you know, fancy stuff down the sideline, but man, the dude's got some mitts. He's got good hands. I think he's going to be a really good possession receiver. I think he's got alignment versatility. He can play outside and inside. He's really physical at the catch point. Doesn't have great length, but again, if you get the ball in his hands, you know, I think he could be a really good player too. Again, one of these mid-tier between 10 and 15. And with all these wide receivers, you know, landing spots and draft capital are going to mean a lot. So we can sit here and talk about, you know, where they're going to go in rookie drafts, but, you know, landing spot and opportunity plays a huge role in the success of these players. So without that information, it's tough. But from a skill set standpoint, those are two players that I've, you know, the more I watch, the more I'm coming around to them, you know, going to be successful hitting our dynasty rosters.
Man, you could have picked a better player than Jalen Wright. That makes me very happy. I was really hoping to get to talk about him a little bit on the show. So I won't name him as one of the underrated players, which he is. And I'm not going to take Marshawn Lloyd just because we have talked about him a lot. And he is definitely an underrated player in mock drafts I'm seeing right now. He's still a third round pick. So if you're doing your rookie draft in February because you're a degenerate, take advantage of this before he is going to be the RB1 and sitting at the 201 or the 110 to 201 range. So take advantage of this. I really do like Ricky Pearsall and Ladd McConkley, though, sitting in the third round of your drafts. And I think that they are very different than most of the wide receivers in this class. I think both of them are extremely good route runners. And whenever both Florida and Georgia were in the worst spots throughout the season, those are the guys they went to. They depended on them down in, down out. And unfortunately for Ricky Pearsall's case, he did start to get used by Eugene Wilson throughout the season. But I think that there's a place for him in the NFL. I think that he can really succeed as a slot receiver at the next level initially. And we'll see, maybe he'll further develop into an outside receiver. But that's kind of the underrated players I'm following right now after you all took so many really good ones. But that's all right.
I do worry about McConkey because he's getting that Senior Bowl bump. Like, everyone seems to have fallen in love with him from day one. They were doing a lot of one-on-ones, and he was winning the routes. So, you know, like, so rightfully so, everyone kind of fell in love. And then day two, they started actually doing 11-on-11, and he was getting destroyed by the DBs. Like, he could not get off the line. So I do worry a little bit about that. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't be drafted or anything like that, but I wonder if because of that Senior Bowl bump, because I haven't heard too many people talking about what he was actually doing in the practices, only what he was kind of doing in the 1v1s. And I don't know how many times you see 1v1s happening in the game, but it's not as often as you might like. So I really wanted to focus more on the actual, like, full-on practices. And that's what we saw. I mean, even in the game, you know, he didn't do very much in the actual Senior Bowl game as well. So I wonder if he's going to get pushed up too much to where, like, maybe he was underrated at some point. Maybe, you know, last week he was underrated. I don't think he's actually going to be underrated anymore. And then as far as Pearsall, I think, like, I've always kind of, like, liked him as, like, a sleeper or something like that. So I don't mind the underrated tag. But he didn't really stand out all that much. Like, he had a... He had a good week, but he didn't do anything like amazing. He didn't, you know, it didn't. I think he ended up getting hurt, if I remember correctly, on day three. I believe he ended up walking off the field and everything. So he had a fine week. But as long as you kind of caveated it with, like, hey, he's a third round pick in rookie drafts, like, that's fine. I have no issues with that whatsoever.
You're muted.
You're muted.
Thank you. Make sure in the comments you all are telling us who your over and underrated players are right now in the draft. Would love to see them after a show where others are standing. And maybe we'll see some of our overrated falling in underrated and vice versa. So really curious to see what your all's takes are on those. And now for the part that I'm most concerned about, but the players that you are most conflicted on right now. And because I'm a little selfish here, I'm going to go first. And the player I'm most conflicted about is Keon Coleman, just as we sit right now. Because there are people seeing stuff that I'm not seeing from a standpoint of causing him to fall down draft boards. John, we talked over Twitter the other night about it. We've had conversations on the show about it. I'm still a believer in Keon Coleman moving forward. But there seems to be fewer and fewer of us, and I'm afraid that he's about to get to the point in drafts that I'm going to want to spend up to trade up to get to him in the fall, and then I'm going to look at this and go, what on earth was I thinking there? So please help me out here.
As long as it's in the late third, then you're fine. You can trade up then. I'm just messing with you.
So let's say he gets a round one draft capital and goes to the Colts, right? I mean, like, it gets that great landing spot with a round one draft capital. I mean, do we, because I agree with you guys. I mean, is he a space creator? Is he an effective route runner, or is he a contested catch vertical guy, right? That's the big question, and the athleticism. And I agree with you after that LSU first game where he dazzled somebody in the middle of the field and took it to the house. After that, he was like a first round draft pick. So that's going to be really interesting to see. So I can see why you're conflicted. I think there's a lot of people conflicted on Coleman.
Andy,
and I really don't hate Coleman. Here. That's the problem is I do not hate Coleman. I actually really liked him when he was at Michigan State, and I had him as kind of like a sleeper prospect or something, you know, to that effect. If not a sleeper, like a riser, somebody that could rise this year. And then he goes to FSU, and I got really excited about it. And then he had that first game, and I got even more excited about it. And then people just seem to stay up here, and I'm like, well, no, we can't stay up here because his play didn't stay up here. And I that's where my concern is. So, like, I feel like I have to be all out if people are going to be that all in, but I don't want to hate Keon Coleman. I never did. I wanted him to be that, like, late round, like late second round guy that I could just throw into every, you know, draft and be like, oh, look, I got this player that could be something. And instead people are like, no, put him in the end of the first. I'm like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, I agree with John. Like after his Michigan State season, I think a lot of people are putting him in that sleeper tier with guys like J. Michael Sturdivant and a few other guys that kind of popped off in their sophomore season. But like J. Mike, he kind of took a step back when he went to FSU. And I think maybe a lot of the reason why after that LSU game, people kind of kept him in that first round tier is because he kept catching touchdowns. He had 11 touchdowns on the year. So his name was always, you know, in the box scores. But if you're just looking at it from like a route running perspective and like a raw stats, like he wasn't dominating his, you know, his peers on his roster when it came to catching the ball and receiving yards, that sort of thing. He actually took a big step back in reception yards per team pass attempt. His yards per route run was under 2. You guys mentioned contested catches. He had 30 contested targets and only caught 10 of them. So there's just a lot there that isn't adding up to somebody that I want to take a chance on, especially when he's going right now, like kind of in the early second round, even in the late second round. I think there's a lot of, you know, like those running backs we mentioned, I'd much rather take a chance on one of them than risk it on Keon Coleman.
What I'm hearing is he's Terrace Marshall. He's 2024's Terrace Marshall.
Oh, man. Now that I think about it, I did buy quite a bit of Terrace Marshall. So maybe I just need to reevaluate my process here a little bit. Maybe that's what I'm learning throughout this and why I should be so concerned. So the first step is recognizing I have a problem. I have lots of problems, but let's at least recognize this one. So I will take it under consideration moving forward and look at him through less rose-colored glasses. John, most concerned prospect.
Real quick, we got a comment in the chat. Brian's asking about fellow Keon Doubter here. Would we be talking about him as badly if the production had stayed, but Jordan Travis didn't get hurt? Travis didn't get hurt that early on. Like he had plenty of time, in my opinion, to do something, and he just didn't do it. I think that, you know, we figured out like I said, the athleticism seemed to he did something, took some kind of, I'm not saying steroids or whatever, he took some kind of drink or something in that first LSU game. And then after that, the athleticism went back to not so much. So I don't think so. So this is who I'm most conflicted on. Is that what we're talking about? Honestly, it's got to be JJ McCarthy for me, because I love McCarthy. I think that he is he's what we want a lot of these quarterbacks to be in the past, when people have been like, he has all the tools, but he's not quite there. And yet for some reason, we're not giving that same argument to JJ McCarthy this year, or at least a lot of people aren't. I'm not saying no one is. But I feel like the NFL is more on board with McCarthy than a lot of fantasy players, Devy players, all that kind of stuff. And so if that's the case, he's going to end up being at least a late first round pick in the NFL draft. And if that's the case, he's going to be a late first round pick in your rookie draft. And so I'm conflicted, not on necessarily the player, because I love JJ. I've made that extremely clear. I think he has it. Now, I'm not saying he's ready day one. I'm not saying that. I actually wrote an article recently, if you want to know everything that I want to say about JJ McCarthy, on DLF.com, DynastyLeagueFootball.com, about JJ McCarthy. And I said, I think it's going to take a year, but I think he has the ability to do it. Now, whether he gets a year or not, that's a completely different story. But I'm conflicted on where am I going to have to draft him to make sure that he is on my team and not on someone else's team if he gets first round draft capital. Now, if he gets third round draft capital, I don't think I have to worry about that. But like I said, right now, it seems like he's going to be drafted in the first round of the NFL draft.
Yeah, I'll just jump in, because I have the exact same player for my conflicted, you know, player. By all accounts, great QB prospect, purely from a metric standpoint, EPA per play, yards per attempt, big time throw rate, QBR, all great. It's the volume that we're all concerned about, because he played in that Michigan offense. And John, as a stats guy, will tell you that, you know, lower sample size leaves more room for error. He did have a really good game against Alabama in the playoff, but even against Washington, he only completed 10 passes because they didn't need him. He didn't do anything bad, and they just didn't have to put the ball in his hand. And that's the argument that people have been using for him, which is a good argument, is that Michigan didn't have to use him, which is absolutely true. But when you're talking about a first-round prospect and he's only had three 300-yard passing games in his entire college career, you're going to sit back and question, like, is this a guy that's really going to be successful in the NFL? And I agree with John. I hope that he falls out of the first round, because that's going to leave the buying window open out for guys like me and John, who are looking at those metrics and saying, like, well, this guy hasn't made many mistakes since he's been in college at all. So the tools are there. But if he gets that first round draft capital, he's going to obviously get pumped up into the dynasty rookie draft first rounds. And then it becomes a question on, do I want to take JJ here, or do I want to go with a guy more comfortable, one of these, you know, tier two wide receivers, or maybe the RB one of the class? I don't know. So that's a question which we're going to have to deal with at some point if he does go in the first round.
To try to put you all at ease a little bit, at least if he gets the first round draft capital, his value is very insulated, at least through the first two seasons, to give you a chance that if you don't like what you see, you can move out at very similar costs and, you know, go reset, move on. I do like a lot of his numbers so far. I like a lot of the peripherals. We will see what team he goes to. I think the highest I've seen so far is Las Vegas at, what, 112, potentially going and getting him. I've also seen that he's going to be a third round pick and will be going to the Chargers to back up Justin Herbert. So I don't know. I don't think he's going to fall past the third round, but I'm also not an NFL scout. Brandon, any closing arguments on JJ McCarthy and then your most conflicted player?
Yeah, I think what's going to be for all these quarterbacks in the draft, it's going to be what the intangibles are and what's in between their ears. I mean, I think they all have the skill set to, you know, I think JJ McCarthy has the requisite arm strength. I think he's got mobility. I think he's tough. I mean, I've seen him run and lay the lumber and trying to get extra yards and all that. It's really going to be the quarterback, whether it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels, who can face the pressure, who can pick up the playbook, who can put the franchise on the back, on their backs, and who can see the field and mentally process and distribute the ball where it's supposed to be and learn these complicated offenses. And, you know, if JJ McCarthy is really smart, and I agree with you, I think he should sit a year. I think all these quarterbacks really, probably except for the first pick in the draft, should sit for a year. I think, I mean, if you just look at the Jordan Love situation, and if it looks like he's ascending to be at least a quality fantasy dynasty starter and for that franchise, it's a hard position. It's the hardest position in sports, and to throw anybody in there, especially JJ McCarthy with the lack of experience, I think would be a big mistake. So hopefully wherever he's drafted, whether it's round one or two, he can sit on the bench and learn how to be a professional. My player, I am very, very conflicted with. And when I saw this question on the show sheet, this guy immediately, and we haven't spoken to him yet, and that's Braylon Allen. You know, I know that we're all used to size running backs. That's been the mantra for years and years, but I really feel like the NFL is changing. I don't have him very high in my ranks, Braylon Allen. I'm concerned that he might be a little too big. There's not many 245-pound running backs in the draft, and I really question his lateral ability and his cutting ability. Yeah, he's big, and he's going to move piles, and he's got decent contact balance, but again, when it comes to these players and being successful on the field, and especially with the NFL, the way I see the game trending is they want speed guys. They want peripheral players that they can use as chess pieces all around the field. And I think he's going to have to find himself in a situation where it's like a gap zone system where he's not looking to run outside stretch plays. And, you know, that offense that just wants a banger. I mean, a comp that I hear a lot is maybe King Henry. And I don't think he'll ever be that, but as far as from a size standpoint and, you know, the utilization of him in that, you know, straight ahead in between the tackles runner, which is what Derrick Henry primarily is. Yes, he runs outside sometimes. I'm just not sure. It's going to be very interesting. I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on Braylon Allen, on where you think his draft capital is going to be. Because, you know, I loved the call earlier on Bucky Irving. I'm a big fan of his, you know, with his PPR ability. And, you know, can you be too big to play the position anymore in today's game? I feel like you possibly could. I think every team is looking for a big banger and a smaller PPR guy that they can put out on the perimeter. But I'm really interested, you know, So I'm very conflicted because, yeah, the size is nice, but I'm not sure the athleticism and lateral movement skills are there to, you know, make guys miss in the NFL, which is what you got to do. You can't just, you know, run straight ahead and plow through everybody. You got to be able to make guys miss.
Mm-hmm. And Ron, I see your questions in the chat. We will get to them right after we finish talking about Braylon Allen. But to your point, for somebody who is 6'2", 245, I would love to see the stats that we're anticipating seeing for somebody that size show up in an elite way. His yards after contact is 3.77 according to PFF. That is not elite for this class, which is really disappointing right now. And much to your point, his breakaway yards per attempt, at least this past season, was 40% breakaway rush rate. And his elusive rating is not very good, at least according to PFF. All of that's very concerning. It highlights the areas that we know that he shouldn't really excel in at that size. But I really want to see him be elite at something other than on the scale.
Yeah. I mean, I think, honestly, I know you're not comping him to Derrick Henry, but, like, please, people, stop comping him to Derrick Henry, because there's literally one Derrick Henry. Right. I've heard the comp Brandon Jacobs, and I kind of like it. I don't know, maybe Andy brought that comp up. So I don't know where I heard it from, so I apologize, but I did hear that, and I like it. I think he could be that. Now, of course, the NFL is changing, like you said. You know, like, do teams necessarily want Brandon Jacobs? I don't think they'll hate it. I don't think they'll mind having a Brandon Jacobs or someone like that. But, you know, the game is kind of going away from that. He did show us this year that he can catch the ball. You know, it might not be like his strong suit or anything like that, but it's also not like it's not non-existent or anything like that either. So I feel like that gives me a little bit, you know, of a reprieve there. But I've never really had Braylon in my top tier of the running backs in the class. He was always kind of in that second tier, you know, mostly because he's not going to ever be that like full on workhorse, three down back, like that kind of thing. In that regard, he probably is like a Derrick Henry, but as a runner, he is not like a Derrick Henry. So I get the concerns, but I still like the player. And, you know, like, it seems like some player or some people just completely want to disregard him. And I can't do that either. So I kind of end up in the middle. I get being conflicted, you know, like that's so I really do agree with that. That was a great pick. And for some reason, I just kind of forgot about Braylon Allen when we were talking about players. And that's a great player to be conflicted on, I do believe. But we're going to get all those answers. We're going to get, you know, landing spot, draft capital, all that kind of stuff. He's still being comped in, you know, fairly early in these mocks, NFL mocks and everything. So I feel like when it's all said and done, we're going to end up liking him. But we just have to kind of get some of those answers right now.
Yeah, I don't see him falling past the fourth round, but who knows? I think Isaiah Spiller a couple of years back is about his worst case scenario in terms of where he's going to end up falling to. I think we all projected Isaiah Spiller as a second round pick. Most likely he was RB2, at least before he got draft capital, and then everything went to what it is now. But
yeah. Well, Isaiah Spiller's big issue was his, you know, his combine, where he showed up and was not athletic at all, which Braylon Allen, by all accounts, shouldn't have that issue, because he's a big guy. He's super athletic. I think he probably will run in the low 4.5s, maybe mid 4.5s, which is about where we want to see him. That is like that Derrick Henry level of athleticism. I like what John said. Like, he showed us that he could catch the ball, which was kind of our big concern throughout all of his first two seasons in college. And I just think he kind of was willed into the top of this RB class because of what happened with everyone else just staying in school another year. And just the whole class being watered down in general. So I get being conflicted, because I don't think anyone should confidently say they know who the running back one in this class is at all. So if you think it's Braylon Allen, I can understand your arguments, but there's five other guys that you could make that argument for. So that's what's great about this running back class. Honestly, you know, they're getting pushed down a little bit, but really they're all have a certain skill set that could translate to NFL production at some point.
Well, let's be very clear. It would have been Jonathan Brooks had he not gotten hurt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was almost my underrated player, but I was like, I don't know if you could be underrated just because of the injury, but
we got to see what the NFL does with him. You know, like that's really all it is. It sucks, you know, but like, is the NFL going to care, or are they going to say, screw it, he showed way too much, we're just going to draft him anyway? Or are they going to be like, nah, he's a fifth round pick? Almost kind of one of those JJ McCarthy things again. I would love for him to be a fifth round pick because I still think he's going to see the field at some point and all that. And then I'm getting him at like the third round or the fourth round of like rookie drafts. Yeah, so I would love that. But it's one of those things where like, do you want the draft capital? Do you want that, you know, that guarantee? Or do you want to try and get a deal or a steal in your rookie drafts? And I want both, but.
Fair enough. The question in the chat from Ron T, is there anyone here who believes Caleb Williams is overrated as he struggles with holding the ball for too long, playing hero ball, and turning the ball over a bunch? To me, Jayden Daniels may not top his stats, but seems far more poised, calculated, and accurate. Caleb seemed more like Bryce, while Jayden seems more like CJ from this past year. Thoughts, comments to that?
I'll go ahead and raise my hand. I definitely believe that Caleb Williams is overrated in the whole like generational thing. I know we had kind of promised Brandon like around an hour pod, so I won't get into everything. I will just say I wrote an article about Caleb Williams on DynastyLeagueFootball.com, and you can hear or read all of that stuff there. And it basically goes into all of that stuff. Like, he is a very good prospect, but maybe he's not that generational prospect that everyone truly believes that he is.
I could see a scenario where Jayden Daniels is better. I mean, if he can mentally process better, stand in the pocket better, that's where it's all going to come down to. I think at least with these quarterbacks, it's all in between the ears is the majority of the work.
Yeah. On the Dynasty Point show, Thomas Tipple loves to say that the only person who knows if a quarterback is going to bust or not is God himself. And if anyone tells you differently, they are lying to you. So I don't know if it's that extreme. We can all make our best educated guess based off of the information we have available to us. But it's really tough to accurately measure how somebody's going to process information like that. So it's definitely possible. I definitely agree. And I don't think he's the slam dunk 101 pick that we all thought he was coming into the season. He definitely showed some flaws, and that USC offense just in general wasn't great all season. It was still very good, and you know, they put up great numbers once again, but there are definitely flaws that NFL scouts were able to see, and we as fans were able to see more of this year.
I remember somebody in a rookie mock that we did in like October or something like that, someone took Marvin Harrison Jr. over Caleb Williams in that rookie mock. I don't remember who it was, but somebody did that.
Was it me?
It might be the guy who's bringing it up.
Because I did a couple mocks with some industry guys, and I took Marvin Harrison over all the quarterbacks, even in a super flex league. It's the safest pick. It's the safest pick.
Yep.
I really believe that.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't come up with an argument to disagree with that. We will see. I felt much better about Caleb Williams being the 101 before the season. Not feeling so great now. And it's to the point that in your dynasty leagues, you can trade Anthony Richardson for the 101 plus. At this point, it's not the same as it was before the year progressed. And that's just always a fun little game to play with your rookie picks throughout the season. Moving on, we're going to try to wrap this up real quick. And I think just very standard question we have to ask, what is your favorite late round pick? Who is the player you can't stand leaving a draft without? It's still early. We still have a lot of draft capital to figure out, still have the NFL combine. But right now, what's your gut telling you? Who's your guy you have to have in every draft?
I'll go first. Malachi Corley. I freaking love this dude. I love his physicality. I like his ability with the ball in his hands, his yak ability. So when he went down to Senior Bowl, we really didn't talk about him during that segment. one of the things I asked Jason when I said he was going, you know, can that guy run routes, right? Because that's what we did. He got a lot of balls in space at Western, you know, Kentucky. But man, I just love his play style. I mean, he's got a very, very unique build at 5'11", 217 pounds. He's more like a running back, so he's not going to be a boundary guy, but I think he could be a really good wide receiver two or three on a team where he's got used as an offensive weapon out of the backfield, a PPR guy, you know, a really good, you know, wide receiver screens. I just really like his game, and I feel sorry for any safety or corner or linebacker that is going to face him one-on-one in the open field because he's going to lay a lick on him. I like his game a lot.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I was standing next to him at the Senior Bowl, and that guy is a beast. Like, he is built. He is a man. So I haven't always been the biggest Corley fan. I do worry a little bit about his athleticism, but, I mean, he has – I mean, he could obviously prove me wrong at the combine, and then everything will be perfectly fine. But I mean, he did have some good games and at least good plays at the Senior Bowl. And like I said, he has that build to where he can be. Now, people are going to want him to be Deebo, of course. He's probably not Deebo. But I mean, he can be Curtis Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that. Somebody like that. You know, so I feel like that's maybe closer, but you know, that's fine. Like that's okay. Like, that could be a player you get in the third or fourth of your rookie draft. I'm probably the third, you know, and then, you know, he produces for your fantasy team, and that's fine. It doesn't always have to be the first round stud, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I like that call. Just a big slot who's going to create yards. And when it comes down to it, he's the kind of guy that you want in your flex position. Because he's going to rack up catches and, you know, maybe score a touchdown or two. For me, and I know we've talked about him. We didn't really talk about him, but we've mentioned him a lot. And I have to talk about why, and it's Marshawn Lloyd. He's going in the third round if you look at rookie ADP right now. And the reason why I think that he's, you know, I'm going to be, if he's still there, I don't think that he'll still be there once the draft happens in April, but we talked about that, this big RB1 tier right now with like Corum, Braylon Allen, Trey Benson, Irving, Brooks, Estime. Maybe Corum and Allen are a little bit ahead of the rest, but not by too much. Then there's this huge break where nobody gets drafted until you get to the middle of the third round. And then guys like Lloyd and Ray Davis and Shipley are coming off the board. So if he's fallen down that far, I'm scooping him up everywhere. And I don't know, he's not getting as much love. Maybe it's because he was in a split backfield with Austin Jones, so the raw numbers aren't really there, but the metrics absolutely are. I think he had around a 15% breakaway run rate, which might be the best in the class. He's not a zero in the pass game. He had 13 catches with a positive ADOT. So he's running routes over 1 yard per route run. He has the size. Going to be a steal in the rookie drafts, since I think he'll be a day three guy. Maybe like an early round four draft pick, but you know, if he pops into day two, then great. That'll just make me like him even more. So if he's still going in the third round in April, I'm going to have a ton of Marshawn Lloyd shares.
Yeah, so Marshawn Lloyd finished in the top 10 for breakaway yards and breakaway yard percentage. He also finished in the top 10 for elusiveness rating. He had a solid yards per route run. He is a solid all-around running back. We've seen him handle like a true bell cow role whenever he was back at USC Junior, and he was their offense until something happened at the end of the season, and it broke my soul. But that's okay. At USC, he also had just a good solid season. There's very little in his game I feel like you can like pick at and critique. I think I will like him so much better as somebody who gets day two draft capital, as most of us would, just because I feel like it'll allow him to fill multiple roles instead of being someone who excels at the niche role that gets them on the field. But that's my only concern. I think it's a great call though, really. John.
Yeah, I love the Lloyd call. I interviewed him at the Senior Bowl, and I asked him, you know, why'd you come to the Senior Bowl? Because I feel like he had kind of done enough to where he really didn't need to. And honestly, like, I loved his answer. He had a lot of great answers, but this one in particular, he said he came to the Senior Bowl because there were so many good players at USC that, like, he felt like he wanted to go somewhere where he could truly, like, showcase all of his abilities, the receiving game, like, all that. Like, they didn't have the offense that we wanted them to have at USC this year. It was a lot of, you know, it was a lot of roll out of the pocket, throw it 50 yards down the field. Marshawn Lloyd isn't helping too much in that unless you're looking at pass pro or whatever. So he wanted to come and showcase that he can be that three down workhorse back that is kind of like a rarity at this point. And so I loved that answer from him. And honestly, I loved the whole week from him. So I love that call. For me, it's got to be Blake Corum. I don't know where he's going to end up falling, you know, when it's all said and done. I know some people absolutely hate him. Oh, he's 5'7", this and that. And then other people are talking about him as, like, their RB1 in the class. Like, I don't know. There's such a disparity there that I don't know where he's going to end up. But I feel like a lot of people are going to hate the size. You know, hate that, you know, 5'7", you know, like that kind of thing. Although we have a lot of 5'7" players in this draft, in case you didn't know, 5'7" running backs, I should say. In fact, I'm going to talk about another one here in a second. But I think I get the concerns. People are like, oh, it's all about the offensive line and everything. If it was just the offensive line, I think that Donovan Edwards would have had a much better senior year. Now, I know he was dealing with injuries and stuff like that, so, and I'm not hating on Donovan Edwards whatsoever, but if it was just the offensive line, there's other running backs at Michigan that could have produced. But no, it was still Blake Corum, and everything, all of the numbers show out. Really, the only concern you can say is that he was a senior. Now, we know why he's a senior. He would have come out last year, but he hurt his knee right at the end of the season. It was just terrible timing, all that. He would have been in last year's class. So it's not like, oh, he had to come back for this or that reason. Now, he's probably happy he did because they won a national championship and all that kind of good stuff. But I think when it's all said and done, if people really are that concerned about Blake Corum's size, I'm going to be right there to scoop him up, you know, as a late round pick. If that doesn't count, because like I said, some people have him high. So if that doesn't count, I'm going to be drafting Kamani Vidal in every single draft, probably in like the fifth round, because I have no idea where he's going to go in the NFL draft. He did have a great week at the Senior Bowl, and I interviewed him. Like, I love him to death. I want to adopt him as my son. I don't know if that's going to work out or not, but he had I'm standing next to him, and he's listed as 5'7". Like I said, another 5'7" running back. I don't think he's actually 5'7", because I'm 6 foot, and I'm standing, and I'm like, I don't think you're that short. But maybe he has like a 2-inch puff of hair on top of him. Maybe that's what was confusing me. But regardless of the actual height, that boy is built. He is 215. He is 5'7", 215 pounds. Like, he is built. He can run. He showed burst, athleticism, route running, receiving, all of that stuff. So I feel like he can be one of those late round gems that you get and you just throw on the end of a roster. And next thing you know, eventually you have a starter, whether it's because somebody else went down with injury or a team's just like, hey, we want this guy right there. Obviously small school guy and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, a prolific small school guy. So I love Kamani. I've always said Kamani Vidal. He corrected me. It's Kamani Vidal. So give me that as my late round pick.
Like it. Nice sleeper name.
Yeah, deep sleeper name. And I'm going to mention a player we've already mentioned before, and just it's a homer, but I have not talked about Jalen Wright near as much as I want to talk about Jalen Wright. And he is somebody who PFF grades out consistently as arguably the best person on Tennessee's offense. He is someone who can excel in multiple schemes and has shown that. He is going to test remarkably well at the combine, I hope. All indications are that he's going to test well, and he had, I think, one of the top five fastest in-game speed scores according to Real Athletics. He hit, I think, 22 miles an hour at one point in time during the season, and he has shown the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, has a really solid yards per route run at 1.33. Not anything great, but I think it's solid. And as good as Marshawn Lloyd has been, and where I think his draft capital is going to take him, both in the NFL draft and in your rookie drafts, I feel like Jalen Wright's going to be somebody who's very similar. You can get at a discount rate and is going to test better. I think I'm just really happy that I'm going to have a chance to roster him on my teams as many places as I can. And right now, he's pretty much free. He's somebody you can get off at the end of your rookie drafts or take him with your last pick. But that's somebody that I want to have on as many of my taxi squads, as many on my rosters come May, June.
I like it.
We've always liked Wright. Yeah, I don't know that I love him as much as you do, but I definitely...
Not me, too.
I definitely like Jalen Wright.
Fantastic. All right, and real quick, just want to knock out this in 30 seconds or less, if possible. Where is the biggest teardrop that you see among the positions? Not quarterback. Let's take the easy one out there, but where's the biggest tier gap right now with the positions that you want to get out ahead of?
Probably Brock Bowers, right? I mean, yeah. It's like Brock or... Then you just, you know, shake up the dice and roll it out. I'm Jatavion Sanders, another player that, just to throw out another name. Have you guys watched Dalvin Halker from Colorado State play? Tight end.
Yeah. He did a ton of stats over at Colorado State. And then obviously you start talking about Colorado State. You think about, the name's leaving my head. The guy on the Cardinals right now, Trey McBride. Another Colorado State tight end. So maybe it's like the TE tight end U of the G5 coming on. But he's a guy that I had on a lot of my C2C teams just because, you know, he just kept catching a ton of passes in that Colorado State offense.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, that's kind of what you want to see is just a big athletic tight end who's going to make plays on offense if you're looking from a fantasy perspective. So I think he's a guy that you should be considering as like a fourth round draft pick if it comes to that. And we saw a ton of tight ends last year really pop off that you were getting in like the third round, and he or Jatavion Sanders, or, you know, there's a few other guys in this draft class might just be in that same mold of guys that you can get late and end up being really good, especially in your tight end premium leagues.
Yeah, so you said you were asking teardrop. I mean, that's an obvious one, too. I mean, you have Brock Bowers, and then it's
everybody else.
Everybody else, yeah.
I think for running backs, there's not really a tier that you could say there's a spot that you want to draw the line at anywhere, because we kind of talked about how it's kind of a big blob at the top. Wide receivers is pretty obvious for me. I know that I was obviously on record that Rome Odunze is not in the Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. tier, so I draw a very hard line after those two. And then, you know, the tier two kind of gets a little muddy waters for me. So, you know, if I can't get any of those first two guys, then I'm trying to move back a little bit.
Yeah, I actually looked at this question a little differently. I thought you were talking about, like, what pick does the tier drop, you know, is there a big tier drop?
That's what I was going for. It's like in the first round, like all positions.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it's 105. Like after 105, there's a very big teardrop, and that's excluding Brock Bowers for me, because I do not have him in that top tier. That's not to say I don't think he's a good player and all that, but I mean, I feel those top five players are about as close to can't miss prospects as you can get. And then you start getting into other players, and there's just a teardrop, because even with Bowers, there's concerns, there's size concerns, there's height concerns. How's the team going to use him? Like all that kind of stuff. As much as I like him, there's definitely questions. So 105 for me is that clear tier break where I'm perfectly fine. I don't even care. Say like, oh, it's the craziest draft. No one ever drafts the way they should. Okay, that's fine. I will take whoever the hell is still there at 105, and I will be perfectly fine. Now, there's obviously chances, oh, maybe you could get somebody really loves Bowers. Maybe you could get Nabers or whoever at 106. And there's possibilities of that. But if you're saying I need to guarantee that I get one of those stud players, then give me that 105. As far as, like, if we're talking about positionally, I'm actually going to go with the second tier of the wide receivers there. Like, I feel like once you get past Odunze and Brian Thomas Jr. And like, you know, players like that, that I feel like there's a pretty big teardrop, even though people don't necessarily want to admit it. Everyone thinks that, like, oh man, this wide receiver class is just absolutely insane. And I'm like, it's cool. And there's a lot of players that could be something, but I really feel like it's a tier of maybe like six or seven players right now. I think Brandon was saying that earlier. It's like a tier of six or seven players that actually have a great chance of being something. And then there's a bunch of players that are like, man, it could actually happen. But, you know, unfortunately, people are acting like there's going to be 15 wide receivers that hit in this class. And it's just not going to happen.
Without a doubt.
Not with that kind of belief. Come on, man. 15 wide receivers that are all going to score double-digit fantasy points next season in their rookie season. It's going to be unbelievable. I can't wait for it. But I do think you're right. To me, after Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers, I think Xavier Worthy, Rome Odunze, Troy Franklin, end of list of people that I am excited to draft in the first round. I start clenching my teeth a little bit the rest of the way in terms of how certain I feel what their NFL future is going to be. Maybe the combine and the NFL draft will tell me differently, that NFL teams really believe in certain other archetypes and certain other wide receivers. But after about 109, maybe 110, if another quarterback goes in the first round, I'm not super excited, and I'm willing to wait until very late in the second round to start picking whoever's left out of that, because I feel like there's a lot of players with the same general ceiling, not a ton that have really differentiated themselves, and it's still early. That's going to change as we go out through the draft season. And be careful, though, of the people who start getting into that fringe first round territory. The ones who are, oh, there's really 13 first round picks this season. You want that 201. Those players have a historically horrible record of hitting. Wherever you go and start looking back through your timelines of rookie drafts, the Keyshawn Vaughns, unfortunately, the Rashad Batemans, but players like that in that general area, be very, very careful as the rest of the draft season progresses.
I feel like it's the same every year. The first round produces players, and after that, it's, you know, there's a teardrop basically. So I don't think this year is going to be a whole lot different.
Fair enough. And with that, that's pretty much our whole show. We wrapped up the whole 2024 draft class in less than an hour and 30 minutes. There are no other shows you need to watch for the rest of the time as you're preparing for the NFL draft. We knocked it out here. Brandon, sorry. You know, we already took care of it. You don't need to be producing videos on it anymore. But of course not. You know, we're going to keep talking about it. The Dynasty show, Dynasty Points with Fantasy Points, they are going to be taking over a lot of the 2024 draft content as we start looking towards freshmen and spring position battles coming up. There's a lot of really good content coming up really soon from the Full Tilt Devi podcast. And I can't wait for so many of you all to tune into it. Once again, put in the comments who your 2024 draft pick favorites are. Who's the players you can't leave without? Who's the players you're most concerned about? One of us are going to get to it. Go join the Discord. Ask those questions there. We are very active in it. And we'll handle all of your fun questions. And while you're doing that, hit subscribe. Get entered in to a chance to win a signed Malachi Nelson jersey. Somebody's got to win it. And all you have to do is click a button to do it. So go in, get entered in, go get multiple other chances to enter in by going and following right now at Devi to Dynasty, the primary one. Go follow Fantasy Points, go follow Campus to Canton, get extra entries and get yourself some free merch, and do it enough, we'll throw in some other things for giveaways. Brandon, thank you so much for coming on the show and discussing this 2024 draft class. I'd love to hear your closing comments and other places that people can go and find your work.
I got a YouTube channel, Devi to Dynasty Football. I have a product too. I call Devi to Dynasty Dashboard. It's a database of Devi players, and love to come on sometime and talk Devi. You know, we're getting that. It's amazing. I'm updating my ranks on my dashboard, and with all those 2024 players off, man, it's like the wild, wild west out there, re-ranking all these players. It's kind of nuts. It's a lot of fun. So I appreciate you having me on.
I can't wait. You are welcome anytime. You know, I'll get in contact with us. If there's just something you want to talk about, feel free to message us. We will have you on at any point in time moving forward.
Appreciate it.
Andy, John, any final thoughts on the 2024 draft class?
Go ahead, Andy. I feel like we haven't heard from you in a couple minutes.
Oh, really? I don't really have any other final thoughts. I will just say, you know, another guy that we didn't really mention from the Senior Bowl stock down was Xavier Leggett, who lost like 3 inches of height during that measurements, which is unfortunate. He was a guy that I thought, you know, a nice tall speedster was going to be a good steal later in the draft, but now he's just sort of like a average height speedster. And it certainly brings more questions than it does answers to my head for a guy like him who took 5 years to break out. But overall, final thoughts, I think it's going to be a great class. I think we're in for a fun rookie season and I'm excited.
It also took Leggett about 5 years to break out of his hitch route. It was not great at the Senior Bowl. I was not a big fan. I mean, he had a couple catches. Him and Rattler kind of had a connection for obvious reasons. But it wasn't great. As far as my biggest takeaway, or my words of wisdom, I guess, are just don't forget about the running backs in this draft class. Everyone wants to hate on it, and I just like I feel like we've seen way too much of it in the past couple of years, where even if a guy isn't necessarily relevant in year one, in year two he is, in year three he is, like that kind of thing. And it could easily be the same thing here. So you still want to draft these guys. You still want to focus on who's the best, who has the best burst, who has the best, you know, breakaway run rate, all that kind of stuff, who showed out, and obviously who gets drafted well, and, you know, or, you know, who are they drafted behind, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to still focus on that, all that kind of stuff. And then the last thing I'll say is Keon Coleman's overrated. I'm out.
Out. Oh, goodness. Well, my final thoughts were also going to include Keon Coleman, so I'll start with that portion. I am currently reevaluating the way that I look at wide receivers after I have had too many misses on that archetype. But my heart, it knows where it goes. All right, I have a type. I keep falling for them. They keep hurting me. We'll try to move on to something else. We'll see. Luckily, Taylor Swift, though, is dropping a new album, so that's keeping me through for a little while, too. And it might get me to love Keon Coleman again, and maybe he will be my 112, 110. We'll see. I'll try not to. I'm going to try to move forward. I'm trying to learn, guys. Once again, thank you all so much for tuning in. This has been an absolute blast. We've been talking about 2024 draft class ever since we started the Full Tilt Devi show. I believe Caleb Williams was mentioned in the very first show, 2 years ago, Andy? You probably have a better memory of that than I do, but it's been a long time coming. So many of our favorites are going out the door now, but that just means that there are opportunities for us to get new favorites in the college ranks. New players are going to break out. Really, really excited about it. And just keep watching for what the NFL is going to say about these players. Have fun with the combine. Don't overreact to it. And just make sure you're tuning into the Full Tilt Devi podcast. Subscribe, go and subscribe to Devi's Dynasty channel. Make sure you're checking out his dashboard. Once again, Brandon, thank you for joining us. John, Andy, it's always great to be spending a weeknight with the best beards of fantasy. So it's been fantastic. Love all the support. Love all of the comments throughout the show. Can't wait to see that moving forward. And I hope everybody has a great rest of their night. Have a great rest of your week. And enjoy the best part of the season. That's draft season. Have a good night, everyone.